WATB Radio seeks to inform and engage the Bride of Christ to stand up and take your place in the army and the kingdom. We recognize our battle is not with flesh and blood, but with the principalities and the powers of the air. We are a ministry of prayer, and we highlight what God is doing through other ministries and ministers across the globe. We provide a platform for ministers and a place for the bride to come together and rally around each other, hold up each other's arms, and pray for one another. WATB Radio celebrates the various missions that God has called each one of us to in this army, so we desire to promote and enhance the bride as a whole. Go Bride! Our soon-coming King awaits. This is a WATB disclaimer. The views and opinions expressed in this show do not necessarily reflect the views of We Are the Bride Ministries, We Are the Bride Radio, or We Are the Bride Television. Thank you. Hello, Bride. Are you a writer? Or do you have a story to tell and maybe you need a little help with your writing? Well, go to Treehouse Publishers today. We can help you achieve your dream. Dreams come true in our house. Do you have a book just waiting in your spirit to come out and share with the world? Well, Treehouse Publishers will help you to achieve your dream. Write that book today. Sell your book in London, in Africa, and many other countries. Let your tree bear much fruit with Treehouse today. Go to www.gotreehouse.org. Call. This show is here to expose the enemy for what he has done in our churches and in our nation. Over the past 20 years, the devil has crept in, but this show will expose the devil and what he's doing in our churches and in our nation. Be alert, bride. Be sober. He is coming back after a bride without spot or wrinkle. Our battle is not with flesh and blood. It is with the principalities and the powers of the air. And we are taking our position in the army of the living God. Rise up, bride. This is your hour. Charge! All right, bride, all right. Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. All right. We are live. Hallelujah. This is your host tonight, Dr. June Knight, coming to you just right outside of Nashville, Tennessee. Today, we are focusing on the subject of the ecumenical movement and social justice. I pray, bride, that you have been able to go back and watch my broadcast from last week where I was able to teach you about the ecumenical movement. What is happening in the ecumenical movement? Now, tonight, I would like to ask you for your grace. I am practicing this new software that I was blessed with. So give me a little grace as I'm learning this. I would really appreciate it, Brad. All right, now let's kick this off tonight and let's just give God praise for what He is doing in the bride. Look, this is 2018. We did start the 40-day fasting and praying initiative with the team of 20 intercessors, ministers, prophets, apostles, pastors, teachers across the country. I want to say hello to my partners out there that are on this team fighting with me in the spirit, praying. Every day we are tearing down the idols. And listen, the Lord did this when I traveled the nation last year and did the mega revival tour. The Lord showed me the sickness in the church. And then afterwards, I started this show, the Clarion Call Show, to reveal to the church what is happening. What is happening across the board. And through that, when I was in New York City, I was standing before the Statue of Liberty and I had a vision or like an epiphany where I saw her in one arm, she had the tablet, and in the other arm, she had the justice, the fire. So I said, come on, bride, this is like us on top of the mountain. We've been in the fire. We've been through the testing, purging, sifting, trying in the presence of the Lord. And then we come off the mountain to find out that our nation has dabbled in idols, that the church has dabbled in idols. Come on, bride. We're going to take our nation back. We're going to tear down these idols in our nation. And that is what started this 40 days fasting and praying initiative, where we are praying against one idol a day. When I post them on my Facebook wall, I would appreciate if you would partner with our team, which is about 20 of them, if you would partner with us and pray against these idols, because what we're doing is going before the throne room in unity. The Lord told me not to do this live on air. This is a private room. We all go in a conference call, and we do. We feel like we go right in the throne room, and we address what we have done to the Lord. We confess, we lay it down, and we give it to Him, and then we ask Him to forgive us. And what I love about it, Bride, is that these 20 people, they each bring something different to God. And I love that so much because everybody brings something, and it has been a very holy experience. So I would like for you, Bride, to pray for this team daily, please. Also, the Lord has opened the door for us to go to the White House, this team that has plowed and prayed for our country, to go on February 28th to March the 4th to go to the White House and to go to the Bible Museum. So for the trip, we're asking if somebody would maybe consider donating. There's people that need help funding the trip. Right now we have a need of two or three people that need just $120 each to reserve the housing up there. Okay, but if you could reserve the whole housing for the whole team, it's like $1,326. So if you would consider that, Bride, I would appreciate to bless this team that is fighting in the spirit for our nation. Look, what we are doing is going after the roots of the sickness in our nation. We're going after the roots. And last night, we was addressing this one today, and the Lord gave me a dream last night, and He said, I want you to call it social justice. I woke up this morning and changed it. You can ask my team. We had it labeled just allegiance to a tribe or a race, creed, group over God. And the Lord told me to change it to this one that says social justice. And so I'm going to read, if I can scroll down on my page a little bit, what I wrote about that. And it's leading up to what is happening today. Okay, so one moment here. Let me scroll down here. I'm scrolling on my Facebook. Also, if you're following me on Facebook, those tweets that you see, okay, when you see it piling up there, is from the members of the team when we're in the throne room. Whenever they say something so powerful
I'm relaying that out there into the Twitter sphere because that's where a lot of the major ministries are. Everybody is, you know, that's in ministry just about is on Twitter. And that's where they share a lot of information. So I'm getting that out there. What is being addressed before God about this? Okay, so here we go. I'm here now. This is idol number 11. And I said, we repent for the church partnering with ungodly organizations and agendas in order to help with social justice when God has a plan for the church to deal with social justice His way. His way does not include partnering with doctrines of devils. Social justice is a term used today to lure the church into an ungodly agenda and its humanism and the spirit of Antichrist. The church must not be lured into humanity's way of dealing with the hurting. God specifically tells us how to deal with the hurting. Thus, this has brought racial divides within the church. When people look at the suffering of other certain races and organizations, they turn on their own God and precepts such as forgiveness, holiness, humbleness, mercy, grace, love, etc., because their eyes have so focused on the suffering and the injustice taking place instead of on their own hearts, and they are being filled with hatred and bitterness at what they are seeing. In this hour, we cannot look at the suffering or hurting and cause us to act in the arm of the flesh. We must follow God's precepts, laws, and His word through all the suffering. So we repent for partnering with other organizations, putting allegiance to race and creed over God's laws and wishes. We put our own agendas and families, neighbors and friends' sufferings above what God says about the matter. Thus, we have made our own race, creed, or belief an idol over God, and thus we repent. And you will see, as I take you through this journey of social justice, you will see, Bride, what I'm talking about, how they are pulling together for coming together to help humanity. But actually, it is a progressive agenda. It is a progressive, a very liberal socialism agenda. It is based a lot upon the economy, bringing justice there. And so, before I tell you what my dream was and what God showed me and all the different things, I could not hear that. Remember, I asked you to have grace towards me because I am new at this. What I will do then is just share what I know, and then I will share the video. I will upload it to YouTube and add it later. I have to get better at this, amen, because God has a purpose. All right, Bride, what I want to share with you is, I want to get my Bible. Hold on. Okay, I want to share with you, first of all, the vision that God gave me last night. And I want you to consider, Bride, what I said about that video. What I said about that video of the definition. Well, y'all probably didn't even get to see that. What they said, the worldly definition of social justice is economic justice. That's one of them. Economic justice. Okay? So, it's basically socialism, which I will have to show you when I upload the videos over to YouTube, okay? So, what I want to share with you today, let me go over to Exodus chapter 12. This is what I read this morning, Bride, when I talked about social justice versus God's justice, okay? Social justice is how they're pulling all of these religions together to come together in unity to solve the world's problems, okay? And they are blurring, mixing, polluting the waters of the altar by doing this. And you can see by some of the videos that I'll be releasing, you will see that it is tainting those that are getting involved in this. Okay, now I want to say that I apologize for that video not working. It's still screaming at me right now. I apologize. Lord bless me with a better computer, but I want to say that Social justice, the way that God means it, is by trusting in Him and allowing Him to do what He's going to do versus us sticking our arm of flesh in to try to save someone when they're suffering. Okay, the social justice that the Pope is offering is the works of coming together on behalf of socialism, trying to solve it, coming together, but it's a very worldly agenda. They try to say they're coming together in the name of Jesus, but it's not, because they're not casting out demons. They're not bringing true deliverance to the people. They're not bringing true solid doctrine and the Word of God. They're just coming together to cause, you know, to solve a problem. You see what I mean? In the natural and in the flesh type of way. Let's go ahead and let's review just Exodus chapter 12, because I want to show you what God says about His justice. Okay? Now, if you think about the children of Israel, when the children of Israel were out there in the wilderness, when they was going through what they was going through and all the plagues happened and all the different things happened to Egypt, when God came to them and told them to put the blood on the doorpost, okay? Now, I want you to see what happens here with God's justice, all right? Now, before we go into this, I want to share my dreams, and this will help you, too, to see the difference between God's versus what they're trying to do, okay? First of all, the first dream, well, I had a couple tonight, but the first dream that I had was I was in this big, beautiful house, and it was like three stories. It was so pretty. And I looked out the back, and there was a beautiful river. And I was like, I want to run downstairs and pray by the river because I love praying outside. I look out the back door, and I step out onto this like little hill where I'm standing by the river, and all of a sudden I saw a cow robe in the river where he was dead. And I looked, and there was a horse that rode by. And all of a sudden I looked, and all these different animals were coming through the river, and they were dead. And I was like, oh my goodness, a plague has happened. These animals have died, you know, like the judgment of the Lord had come. Well, I guess it was granddaughter. I don't have one yet, but in my dream there was. My little granddaughter come out the door. She looked like she was maybe, you know, a year old, very tiny. And she come out and stood beside me. And I looked down, and one of the horses had come out of the water after her. And I knew that this horse had like a ravenous, desire to eat her because she was tiny. And he was like, had a plague, you know, like a virus. And so I was like handing her to a man, and I was like, take her back in the house, he's going to eat her. So we barely saved her from this ravenous animal. But I remember in the dream feeling, you know, that this was judgment and that animals had died in the water. And then I go into another remembrance right after that of another dream I had a couple of years ago when I was living in Mississippi. Of me and this gentleman, now he's a minister in Mississippi, and we was walking down the highway, and we was talking about the Lord, and all of a sudden, a whole herd of cows come across the highway and blocked all the traffic. And I was like, what the world? And I mean, it was like 200 of them. It was a bunch of them. And then all of a sudden, they just started falling over, dead. I mean, instantly. Just fell 1, 2, 5, 10, 50, 100. All of a sudden just fell over flat dead like that. And I remember feeling in my heart, oh my gosh, judgment just came. And all of them fell over dead. And I mean, just right there. And everybody got out of their vehicles like, what just happened? And it was like the fire of God come over me and this man. And we just said, thus saith the Lord, judgment has come. Repent today, for your redemption draweth nigh. You know, like John the Baptist type of preaching, but it was like the fire of God was on us. And we understood the times that we were in. We understood the situation we was in, and we began to prophesy and tell them what was happening and how God was calling them back to Him and how they needed to repent. Okay, so then I woke up and the Lord said, I want you to do this idol today on social justice. Why? Because the judgment is coming, Brad, this year. The judgment is coming this year. And when it comes this year, the Lord is encouraging the bride to trust in the Lord. Okay? Don't reach your arm of flesh in there when you see people hurting. What I mean is, people are going to answer to the Lord for their heart that He judges Himself. So when the judgment comes, it is coming to the house of the Lord. And when we see the suffering, we're going to have to keep our eyes focused upon the Lord. We're going to have to keep our eyes focused on God and do what He has called us to do. The mission that He has called us to. This is the clarion call for the hour. Okay, first of all, the clarion call is to repent. Make sure your house is right. Make sure your heart is right before the Lord. And then, when it comes, is not to look to the right or the left at the people that are hurting and suffering. I mean, you see them because you have compassion. Please hear my heart on this. Okay, you see them because you have compassion. But you have to obey the Lord in the process. We cannot get distracted by following man's way of dealing with it. We have to hear the Lord, because He is going to cause His people to rise up and to prophesy in that hour and to declare what God wants to declare. In other words, yes, revival is coming, and it's going to be at the same time as suffering. Where the biggest part, the difference right now, is the people that are teaching, revival's coming, it's going to be awesome, blessings, you know, all this stuff, it's going to be good. But they're not teaching, oh my God, you need to prepare because the suffering is going to be horrendous. Okay? And what I mean is, when you see people and a ravenous animal is taking their child or whatever, and they're suffering, you know, we have to have compassion for them. Of course, we have to pray, but we have to know what the word is for that hour. And we have to keep our focus and keep ourselves going ahead. Okay? That is God's justice. God's justice. We have to trust Him. Well, let's just read Exodus chapter 12 and we will see. And the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make you count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats. Okay, so what's he doing? He is preparing him for what is coming for the judgment. And you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door post of the houses wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. So what's he doing? He's giving instructions on what to do during the judgment. And that's what we need to have right now. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden all at all with water, but roast with fire, his head with his legs and with the pertinence thereof. And you shall let nothing of it remain until the morning, and that which remaineth of it until the morning you shall burn with fire. Okay, now picture this part right here in verse 8 where it says the unleavened bread, which means do not mix. You will see that a lot in this scripture where God talks about how he hates mixing. Okay, so let's move on here. And thus shall you eat it with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. Now that is what the Lord is saying today. I am the Lord. I will execute judgment upon my house because my people are defiling the gospel. They're defiling the altars. They're defiling the temple. They're defiling my people. They're lying to my people, telling them you don't have to die to yourself. You don't have to give up nothing. You can remain in your sin, and that's an abomination to God. He cannot be around sin like that. And the blood shall, we're on verse 13. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. Now I just want to say for the bride of Christ, the true bride that is sold out to him, not compromising the gospel, holding their ground. This is what God is saying. He is going to protect you for what is coming. Okay? And this day shall be to you for a memorial, and you shall keep it as a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. You shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. 7 days shall ye eat unleavened bread. Even the first day you shall put away leaven out of your houses. Come on now, let's get the leaven out of our houses. Let's prepare the way for the Lord this year. Amen. For whosoever eateth leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that soul shall be cut off from the kingdom. Cut off from Israel. That is what the Lord is about to do, is to deal with the lukewarm so that they can repent and come back to him. They will either repent or they will get even more hard-hearted. Okay? And in the first day there shall be a holy convocation. In the seventh day there shall be a holy convocation to you. No manner of work shall be done in them, save that which every man must eat, that only may be done of you. And you shall observe the feast of unleavened bread. For in the selfsame day have I brought your armies out of the land of Egypt. Therefore shall you observe this day in your generation by an ordinance forever. Now I just want to say that God brought the United States of America out of Egypt when he brought us out of Britain. We come over to the United States, we made a covenant with God, and we gave this nation to him. We are held accountable to God for this nation. Come on now. Our duty here is to send out more missionaries. Our job here is to send out missionaries and evangelize the world. And that is what God is calling us to come back to, is our calling. What missionaries are sitting there docile? What missionaries are dormant? God is going to stir that up and cause that missionary to go back out. Amen. Okay, so 7 days shall there be no leaven found in your houses, for whoever eateth that is leavened shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether he be a stranger or born in the land. You shall eat nothing leavened. In all your habitations you shall eat unleavened bread. Now, why is that, bride? Why do you think God is saying that? Because he wants them separated. He wants them walking in purity. He wants them walking in holiness. Okay, then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said unto them, draw out and take you a lamb according to your families and kill the Passover. Okay, and you shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and strike the lintel and the two side posts with the blood that is in the basin, and none of you shall go out of the door of this house until the morning. So they had a command. They could not leave that house. Now, bride, I want you to picture this of the moment that they are in. Okay? This is Israel. They are there with Egypt. They have probably befriended some of the Egyptian women, some of the Egyptian children. They're in this community together. But God is telling them to separate yourself, put the blood of Jesus, the blood of the Lamb, over your house, and stay in there all night and do not come out. This is the word of the Lord. Okay, and you should, okay. For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians, and when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door, and will not suffer the destroyer to come into your house to smite you. I submit to you today, bride, that is you in this hour. When the judgment comes, when you have cleaned your house already, you have judged yourself, cleaned your house, allow God to correct you, rebuke you, chastise you, and allowed him to heal you, your inner self. When this comes, you will have the blood on your doorpost. God will protect you through this, bride. We don't have to fear. Amen. And you shall observe this thing for an ordinance to thee and to thy sons forever. And it shall come to pass, when you be come to the land which the Lord give you, according to what he had promised, that you shall keep this service. So he's saying, don't forget this when you go over to your promised land. Okay? Now this is us, by the way. We're in America. We're in our promised land. Okay? Now let's go back over here. And it shall come to pass when your children say unto you, what mean ye by this service? That you shall say, it is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt, when he smote the Egyptians and delivered our houses. And the people bowed the head and worshipped. Did they argue? No. Did they reason with God? No. Did they try to turn away from God? No, they worshipped. They said, yes, Lord, whatever your justice is, Lord, be it unto thee, your God Almighty. This is our call today, bride. The social justice that we are called to is God's justice. We have to honor what he does and allow him to use us while he's going to do what he's going to do. Do you understand? He is the great Father. He is holy and righteous. And he is a good, good Father, which means he corrects and he rebukes and he chastises because he wants to mature us. That was the word from that prophet the other day when he said the number 18 represents when our children leave the home. When they turn 18, they are going into maturity. That is us. The body of Christ is stepping into maturity this year. Okay? So, we have to allow God to do what he's going to do. Whenever you send your child out, you kind of push them out of the nest now, don't you? You trust them to be able to make decisions on their own and that they would have to face their own actions. That is what God's about to do here. And the children of Israel went away. Now, this is after they worshipped, okay? They went away and did as the Lord had commanded Moses and Aaron. So did they. And it came to pass that at midnight the Lord smote all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sat on the throne unto the firstborn of the captive that was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of cattle. Now can you imagine being in your house in protection, in your bubble, and you know that all this death is happening around you? Bride, I submit to you, this is what we're going to see this year. Now, let's see what happens from here, okay? And Pharaoh rose up in the night, he and all his servants, and all the Egyptians, and there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one dead. Isn't that sad, bride? Can you imagine if you love these people, if you love those children, if you love that mother, and then you knew that they died? How sad is that? My point is what did the children of Israel have to see? A lot of bloodshed, a lot of suffering, a lot of hurt people. And they knew in their heart, God did this. He judged them because of their hard hearts, their stiff necks, their stubbornness. And that is what's going to happen this year. So as Christians, as the bride, we have to walk in humility. Listen, we have to walk in humility, and we have to walk in love, and we have to not be haughty when God raises us when they are being pushed down because of the judgment. You see what I mean? We have to be very careful of that, not to be, you know, doing anything out of vengeance. Okay, so here we go. And he called for Moses, now this is Pharaoh, and Aaron by night, and said, rise up and go get ye forth from among my people, both you and the children of Israel, and go serve the Lord as you have said. Okay, so he was angry because he just got punished. And that's going to happen too, bride. This is where great persecution is going to come to the true bride. Great persecution. Because picture this, bride. A lot of spoiled people do not want to face their own actions. They don't want to face their self. So what do people do when they are in rebellion most of the time? They blame other people. Well, if it wasn't for them and what happened over here and what they did and what they're doing, this would happen. Instead of them taking it back on themselves and saying, I have sinned against the Lord. I repent, Lord. You see what I mean? So what they're going to do is be angry at the ones that are blessed and the ones that are in this bubble. Can you imagine how they felt about the children of Israel? You didn't lose your firstborn? What? Why would he do that to me and not kill your firstborn? You see what I mean? So we have to remember this, bride. This is a good story to learn from about social justice and God's justice. Okay? Also, take your flocks and your herds, as you have said, and be gone, and bless me also. And the Egyptians were urgent upon the people, that they might send them out of the land in haste, like, get out of here, for they said, we be all dead men. Which tells me at that moment, when the judgment happened, the fear of the Lord was upon them, right? At that moment. And the people took their dough before it was even leavened, their kneading troughs, being bound up in their clothes upon their shoulders. In other words, they rushed out of there. And the children of Israel did according to the word of Moses, and they borrowed of the Egyptians jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment. And the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, so that they lent unto them such things as required, and they spoiled the Egyptians. Basically, the wealth of the wicked was laid up for the just. Isn't that something? That is confirmation with what is about to happen very, very quickly in our country. The wealth of the wicked is laid up for the just, but then when the just receives the money, they have to be very careful how they spend it. I've been saying this on my Facebook wall. We are only conduits. When God gives us things, first of all, it may not even be for us. It may be for someone else. It may be for a ministry. It may be for your neighbor. It may not be for you. For instance, somebody came over here the other day and gave me a bunch of collector's plates. And they was like, you know, they knew I needed money, so they're like, take these collector's plates, sell them on eBay, and you'll get about $850. So when I looked down, the Lord spoke to me right then. He says, those plates are for the Museum of the Bible in Washington, D.C. Take them to Washington, D.C. So I told that woman, I said, the Lord said these are for the nation, they're not for me. And that's how God is. He gives us things, but it's not for us to hoard. It's not for us to keep for ourselves. It's for us to give away. God, what do you want to do with it? He may give you things to keep. He may give you money to keep. But with all the suffering people out there, He may be having you just distributed in certain ways to show people love and what God has for them. Okay, so getting back to the scripture here. And don't forget, Bride, what it says right here. And the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. We are about to be showered in favor. Come on now. So that they lent unto them such things as required, and they spoiled the Egyptians. And the children of Israel journeyed from Ramesses to Succoth, about 600,000 on foot. That's a lot of people. And there were men beside children. And a mixed multitude went up also with them, and the flocks and herds, even very much cattle. They baked unleavened cakes of the dough which they brought forth out of Egypt, for it was not leavened, because they were thrust out of Egypt and could not tarry, neither had they prepared themselves any victual. Now the sojourning of the children of Israel who dwelt in Egypt was 430 years, which means that's how long they was captive, 430 years. And it came to pass at the end of the 430 years, even the selfsame day it came to pass, that all the host of the Lord went out from the land of Egypt. Isn't that just prophetic? On the very day that they went into captivity was the very day that they were released. That is awesome. It is a night to be much observed unto the Lord for bringing them out of the land of Egypt. This is that night of the Lord to be observed of all the children of Israel and their generations. And the Lord said unto Moses and Aaron, this is the ordinance of the Passover. There shall no stranger eat thereof. But every man's servant that is bought for money, when thou hast circumcised him, then he shall eat thereof. A foreigner and a hired servant shall not eat thereof. In one house shall it be eaten. Thou shalt not carry forth out aught of the flesh abroad out of the house, neither shall you break a bone thereof. In other words, he's establishing laws and rules. All the congregation of Israel shall keep it. And when a stranger shall sojourn with thee and will keep the Passover of the Lord, let all his males be circumcised, and then let him come near and keep it. And he shall be as one that is born in the land, for no uncircumcised person shall eat thereof. You know what's in my spirit is like, let's say a famine comes to the land as part of the judgment or whatever. A famine of the land. You know, in other words, the poor you'll have with you always. The hurting you'll have with you always. But you have to hear the word of the Lord when it comes to helping people. I want to pause here a minute and share what a mentor told me one time. She said the Lord gave her a dream and told her, he said, I'm going to teach you about obedience. He said, I want you to take this package from this city to three cities up. And I want you to not stop for any person or anything and go straight forward in this mission. And this is all you're to do, period. So she leaves on the mission and goes to the next town. And all of a sudden, a plane crashes. And all these people are screaming and firing in terror because they're dying and they're needing somebody to help them. And they're running up to her, help me, help me, help me. And she can't, because God spoke to her and said, you are to go straight forward and do nothing else. She had to watch all them people suffering. She had to watch them dying and be tortured. But she had to obey the Lord. That was the most important thing. She kept going. Now see, this is God's justice, okay? The next one came, the next town. There was like a big car pileup, and there was people dying, people hurting, people maimed, and they kept trying to ask her to help, and she could not do it. And they got angry. They got mad at her. How can you not help us? And she's like, I have to obey the Lord, okay? I have to keep going. That was the most important thing to her, okay? And that's what I pray, Bride, that you get off this broadcast tonight, is that God's social justice is obedience, because he's the one that brings justice, okay? And he is the one that's going to roll justice down like a river through our nation. And we need to be the trees of righteousness when it is rolling. And we need to be operating in obedience and doing what he says because he has a purpose. Then, when this woman got to the third city after seeing much calamity, much famine, much pestilence, much of all these different hindrances and chaotic scenes, when she arrived to her destination, God looked at her and said, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant, for your obedience is what I was looking for. The hurting will be with you always. The poor will be with you always. But obedience to our King is the most important thing. Not compromising, not tainting, not partnering with doctrines of devils, and not partnering with the one world system, one world government, one world beast." Okay, so let's continue with our story here. Okay, so let's go on to verse 47. Oh, wait a minute. Let's go on to verse 49. "One law shall be to him that is homeborn, and unto the stranger that sojourneth among you. Thus did all the children of Israel, as the Lord commanded Moses and Aaron, so did they." In other words, they feared the Lord and they obeyed. "And it came to pass the selfsame day that the Lord did bring the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt by their armies." Hallelujah, Lord. So the Lord delivered them. But what I want you to consider, bride, is the sound that the children of Israel had to hear when they heard the screams and cries of mothers and the suffering all around them. Pharaoh screaming. A lot of them probably liked Pharaoh, even though he was mean. You know how a lot of abusive children are. They build relationships with their parents. They love them anyway. They probably cared for him when he lost his son. It probably broke their heart. But we cannot be swayed by the injustices of humanity, is my point of the broadcast tonight. We cannot be swayed by the injustices of humanity without considering God's justice. We have to partner with God, even when he does things that we do not understand. Okay? One of the greatest grievances on the earth today is ministries that are teaching the sheep that it is okay to live in sin and that they can do anything and still go to heaven. And that is really, really sad. And they will be held accountable for that, unfortunately. Well, it's not unfortunate because they're teaching wrong, but it's because it is not causing people to die and to be cleansed. God is coming back after a bride without spot and wrinkle. That is a bride that has been cleansed and corrected and rebuked and chastised and cleaned up and had the roots pulled out of them that came to them from their past. It came to them through partnerships they made with the devil and things they shouldn't have done and doors that they opened and lies that they believed and all this. Okay? So they have to be set free. God's desire for humanity, okay, is to be set free. It is to be what God has called them to do. The identity of Christ. Wow, I just had an epiphany, bride. Listen to this. This ecumenical order, what they're doing, is causing these people that are partnering with that to have the identity of the world. We don't want man's identity. We don't want a community identity. And that's what they're doing. They are forming a community and they're causing the remnant. They're calling them spiritual racist. Can you believe it? Calling the ones that go by doctrine. They stick by doctrine and they say, "Oh no, the Bible says this and we're sticking to it. The Bible is the number one ruler of my life. I will go by the word of God." That is what it says. Those people are called, well, a lot of people now call them terrorists, you know, right-wing zealots, but it's people that stick to doctrine. And this is the worst enemy of the ecumenical movement, is doctrine and people that are solid, and they are going by God's identity, not the world's identity, that says love. You know, love, I mean, their definition of love and God's definition of love is like two different things. Because their love is based on the social acceptance. That is not God's love. God's love is truth. You know, it is laying your life down for your brother, but it is truth. And trust in the Lord. Okay, let's examine love. Okay, while we're on love, let's go to 1 Corinthians 13, where the chapter of love is. Okay? Now see, the ecumenical movement, what it is doing, is it is partnering these people together. Inclusion. Inclusion. Okay? I encourage you to look up two pastors to see what the ecumenical movement has done to them. I was going to try to show you tonight, but one is Kenneth Copeland. You can see what the ecumenical movement has done to him. You can just see the difference of him. And then the other one is Carlton Pearson. He is completely turned and he is mixed with New Age and everything. It's really sad. It will taint. If you partner with the devil, darkness, you will receive the darkness. It will eventually taint you. And that is what is happening. All right, let's go to 1 Corinthians 13. Okay, here we go. Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels, and have not charity, I am become as a sounding brass or tinkling cymbal. And charity means love. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and have knowledge, and though I have all faith and that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And by the way, I want to encourage you, Bride, talking about justice, not to look at signs, miracles, and wonders. Okay? Because the Antichrist is going to be operating in signs, miracles, and wonders. Okay? And God is about to judge false prophets that have been operating in signs, miracles, and wonders, but their hearts are not right with God, and they're leading people astray. Okay, so he's saying here, and though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself and is not puffed up. Does not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own. Is not easily provoked and thinketh no evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity and rejoiceth but rejoiceth in the truth. That is love. Why is it love? Because I love God more than I love anything else on planet Earth. I love His Word more than I love anything on planet Earth. The Bible says if you love your children more than God, you're not worthy of the kingdom. If you love your husband, if you love your wife more than God, you're not worthy of the kingdom. God will have no other gods before Him. He is holy and He is just. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Love never fails. But whether there be prophecies, they'll fail. And whether there be tongues, they will cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part will be done away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child, and I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Now that is what God is doing this year. He is maturing His bride. Come on now. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know even also as I am known. And now about faith, hope, charity, these three. but the greatest of these is love. Truth, waving the banner of truth, is part of the love characteristic. The love that they are talking about is not right. Why? Because they are partnering with the doctrine of devils. They are partnering with this person who is partnering with all the different faiths. They are partnering for other goals that are not good. Why? Because in the end, this is what I was going to tell you on this broadcast. In the end, these ones that are forming together, which seems like 85% or 90% of the church out there, is in this. I mean, it's like huge. All the big ministries, so many of them that you can think of are in this. They have all partnered together. Okay? The ones that are not, they will label as, I guess, spiritual racists is what they're calling them. But basically, those will be the ones that are persecuted, martyred for his name's sake, for standing up for the word and standing up for doctrine and saying, no, that I don't agree with that. This Bible is not inclusive. This Bible has specific rules and precepts, and that's how God is. And we stick by what God says. I'm sorry you're mad at me, but the truth is the truth. It trumps anything. This right here does. It's the truth. And we would not partner with something that is going to lead people down a wrong path later. Do you understand, Brad? We have a certain way that we are required to walk. Why would I partner with the satanic pastor, okay? Who some people may like his personality or whatever, and then that person is going to end up taking them down. With someone, and they're taking them down the wrong road, that is going to be held on my hands. And that's exactly what's happening. When they partner with these and they partner with these groups, they want to take them off to these schools to equip these people to be missionaries, and they're teaching them this Catholic jargon, and they're teaching them this one world religion doctrine. It's not good, church, I'm telling you. Research this. You don't have to believe me, okay? I'm just telling you my research, what I've understanding about this and what I've discovered, okay? I am begging you, please research this yourself. Type in ecumenical movement and charismatic churches. Type in big name preacher's name and type in that word. You will find out yourself. It's no big secret. I am not trying to hurt ministries. I'm not trying to hurt people. And I pray that you hear my heart on that. I am trying to tell you the truth so that you can make a good decision. And that this year that you will be protected as far as the social justice versus God's justice, that you will be ready this year when the Lord calls your name and he gives you a dream like he did me this morning and gave me instructions, that we will obey that no matter what chaos is going on around us, that we will be soldiers of the living God when chaos is taking place. The chaos does not shape us. Come on, bride. The chaos does not shape us. God does. Okay? When I was on the tour, the Lord told me on the last part of the tour, it was the number 4 ending of the tour, he said, I don't want you to plan this out. I want to lead you by the day. And boy, you talking about having to go by faith, Brad. Not only was I having to travel the United States with no money, okay? But now he's telling me he's going to lead me by the day. You talking about driving off into these states I've never been in, okay? And I'm going with nothing and believing he's going to be on the other side of this. That was the whole entire tour, 36 states, 18,000 miles. So, I was in Columbus, Ohio, and the Lord said, he gave me a dream, and he said, I want you to go to Niagara Falls, New York, and I want you to go to the falls. I want you to prophesy over the falls. And I want you to declare this and declare that. So I drive to the falls. I accidentally went over into Canada. It was a funny story. I did prophesy over the falls the next morning at 4 o'clock in the morning. I prophesied on the Canada side. I prophesied on the United States side. And then the Lord gave me a dream that night and told me to go to New Hampshire. You know, that's how He led me. He led me by the day through dreams and through words and different things. And that is the time that we are heading. And so I'm going to pray for you tonight, bride, that you will hear the voice of the Lord for this hour, and that you will be led by Him and not led by the chaos, not led by the hurting, and that you will hear the Lord's voice so that you can do the mission, because God has primed you for this, bride. Come on now. He has primed you for this. He has prepared you for this, for such a time as this. This is your hour. Your hour of favor. Okay? So I'm going to pray for you. Here we go. Lord, I pray for all the viewers watching this broadcast tonight that they will understand the difference between social justice, which is the world's way of dealing with justice, and then God's justice, the way that you would have justice be done, Lord. And I pray that you reveal it to your bride, Lord. I pray that she will hear your voice so clearly, Lord, that you would reveal yourself so that they can hear what the Spirit is saying to the church, Lord. I pray that they would have dreams and understand their dreams, and that you would speak to them in their dreams like you do me, Lord, and give them direction and even give them whole plans of how to do things, how to design things. Lord, open them up to hear you very clearly. And Lord, we thank you and give you praise for this broadcast tonight, Lord. Although the technology messed up a little bit with the new software, it's okay, Lord. At least I'm able to finish this broadcast tonight, and I give you praise because we will do another one tomorrow, Lord, and they can hear the rest of that. And Lord, we give you praise and honor and glory for what you're doing in our country. And we thank you, Lord, for our country. And Lord, we pray for all the bride out there, Lord, that is being deceived right now with this ecumenical movement, that they would be delivered, that the scales would come off their eyes, and that they would see what they've attached to, and that they would not want to touch the unclean thing, Lord, and that they would say, I'm not doing this anymore, and get out in Jesus' mighty name. Lord, I thank you that you're coming back soon, and you are preparing a bride without spot or wrinkle, a bride that will lay down her life for you, Lord, that will give it all to you, knowing that you will do anything and everything for her. And we give you praise, honor, and glory in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. All right, bride, I love you. Thank you for having mercy with me tonight about this new software. Apparently, the sound did not work on the video, so that's something I'm going to have to look into. But it's okay. Look, it worked this whole time. I'm still up there, and you see my little graphics to the side. Ecumenical Movement, One World Religion. And so, I'm glad that you're able to see that, bride. All right, well, hey, I love y'all, and y'all have a good evening. God bless you, bride.